fishing all the time. Baby going fishing too.
Baby going fishing too.
That's your life.
Well, Leaf, we've got a little news. It's not steelhead news, but no. we knew that.
Yeah.
I mean, we fully expected that. But there is a little
any news is good news.
Season opening news.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's been I'd imagine about 15 years or more since the fact was that the steelhead season was closed, didn't open,
yeah,
never opened.
Didn't open.
So that leads to a special kind of loophole season, I guess, almost in in the fact that we get a little winter whitefish season here. And that would be the old school whitefishing grounds from Gold Creek up to, well, really, it's easiest just to say Gold Creek to the top of the Chewuk and to the top of the Methow. There okay. was, as far as I can understand, I was talking to Ryan Fortier about this, the area biologist, and he said somehow, like, one of the only sections that's really not going to be technically open, but they're working on opening it, is the mm-hmm. only section that's usually open when steelhead season closes. And that would be the section between the Weeman Bridge down to Foghorn Dam, just above the Rhythm and Blues site there.
Oh.
Somehow that got accidentally closed as they were writing things through. It might be different by the time you hear this report.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but lots of other ground open.
Oh, man, just so much. And, you know, it's not even just up to 8 Mile Creek on the Chewuk, which mm-hmm. it usually is there.
Right.
It's all the way up to the wilderness boundary, which may or may not matter here.
Yeah.
Again, by the time you hear this report, because there may be snow and ice up there. But, you know, I've been talking to my buddy Jeff and a few other guys with snowmobiles and fishing habits, and we're talking about going up there either before it really freezes up or after it thaws out and trying to get in there with our little catboats and fish some of that river
cool.
that we never fish.
Well, it's always kind of a fun wintertime activity to get out and do whitefish.
Oh, just to be on the water, man.
Yeah.
That's the daily therapy for me. So.
Yeah.
First thing I'm going to do is stick my boat in there and go for it. You know, got to remind everybody this is whitefish season.
Yes.
So that mainly, you know, it really means that you need to get down there into that proper tackle. And that is, I believe it's a 3/16 size mm-hmm. hook. And that's from the tip of the hook to the shank of the hook, mm-hmm. Measured from the top to the bottom there, basically.
Yeah.
After the curl. And that would more easily be said as a size 14 hook.
Okay.
And so, you know, a lot of good patterns fall into that category. Tiny stones, coronamids, which are always a popular item for me at this time of the year.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, quite a few other nice, cool-looking little bugs and the midges and soft tackles and all kinds of things you can be using for them.
Well, a traditional whitefish bait is a maggot.
Correct.
Do you have a maggot tie?
I don't, but I imagine you could just go with like a scud, and there are maggot patterns.
Yeah.
Scuds look a lot like a, you know, kind of curled around, kind of maggoty looking thing. And you know, I was going to talk about that it actually technically allows you to use bait. I'm not going to be using bait. Like I've said in the past, it really just stinks up your hands.
Of course not.
It won't stay on in the back cast anyway.
Well, you don't need to worry about stinking up your hands. You're supposed to keep those maggots in your mouth.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Keep them warm.
Yeah. They love to sit right in there with a nice juicy dip of Copenhagen.
No, they don't like Copenhagen. You got to quit while you got those in there.
So, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to take some of those suckers. I believe it's either 5 or 10 a day. I think it's 10 a day.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to double check my rule book before I hit the river, as I would say anybody should do. My plan, smoke them up in the round, you know, and then just use that nice, that ability to slide it right off there after that, that meat's all cooked, comes right off the bone and you know, do some canning, because that's what I've been doing with a lot of my fish that I have been taking this year is smoking and canning it.
Well, I mean,
it's delicious.
It's a luxury in the city.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Smoked whitefish is a big deal.
And it's something that I've seen throughout, you know, fisheries history. The people just, you know, throughout different times have turned their noses up at certain fish and then really liked those fish and then not liked them. And it's a lot of these, what they call coarse fish, those big scaled fish with the kind of funnier looking face, as we've talked about in the past.
Yeah, but that that really shouldn't count.
No. You know, I'm not really going to be eating any of those underside mouth ones with the, like the suckers or the carps, but this thing's still got the mouth on the front of its face, and it's, you know, I think it's good meat.
Yes, it absolutely is good meat. And you don't want to make the mistake that, say, the Lewis and Clark expedition made when
they're... What's this?
Well, they just got, you know, they'd have a really tough time coming over kind of the last...
hump or something.
Yeah, and divide. They'd been eating shoe leather.
I remember reading some part of this.
And they come down into these West Coast Nez Perce tribes who are all fishing for salmon.
Uh-huh.
But in their mind, salmon was, you know, Indian food. It was wouldn't eat it. They actually bartered for the dogs. They would eat the dogs.
Oh, my.
And a bunch of root crops that the Indians were digging, which their stomachs weren't ready to take. They practically died of stomach distress.
Oh, aren't we just the superior subspecies of human?
It's hard to imagine a salmon being looked down your nose upon. Consequently,
it got me to thinking about our Native Americans up here. From what I can tell, the whitefish and the now very, very hard to come by lamprey
were
the main thing for them. And
lampreys,
I can imagine
were a big
that
deal.
Because steelhead and salmon, well, salmon especially anyway, are just kind of here and gone in about 3 or 4 weeks as far as you see of them.
Well, and I think it took a particularly good fishing grounds that made it easier to fish them.
Yeah.
And if you had a lot of rock formations out there where you could kind of get out there and dip net and different things.
I'd be curious how they caught those lampreys. If it was something like the eel traps, because I was just watching this on KPBS or something like that. They have, and I'd seen it before over in the Northeast, they have the eel traps, and they're like a downstream V weir, and it kind of just it allows passage a little bit on one side, but essentially just kind of funnels them in real passively, and then they can go in there and pick the trap like that.
Okay. Well, John Crandall was in yesterday doing a watershed
ramble.
Yeah,
we should ask him.
He would know. Yeah. Well, he's a lamprey expert, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be interesting because it was a major food source.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. I've heard, sort of theoretical talk if the oceans get too warm and we start to lose. And truthfully, we need to kind of lay off some of the tuna runs and things like that.
Yeah.
Give them a break. And if you don't, the only thing available may be like squid and things like that,
I heard jellyfish. I saw in one article. I'm not into that.
Can you imagine if that were your seafood choice?
No thanks.
Squid or
just
jellyfish?
Sounds like squid, maybe a little calamari, but I'm not going into the snot zone with the jellyfish. It's just not happening. No.
Hopefully you won't live so long you'll see that. But
I'm thinking about what my kids are going to be eating.
I know.
And I hope it's not jellyfish.
I know what you mean, man.
Well, I was going to talk about, too, we kind of left off on the bait part of that whole thing.
Yes, yes.
It does lead to a little more likelihood of hook swallowing, and so does, frankly, a small hook on any of these fish. So I just wanted to, remind people, if you can't easily get that thing out with your hemostats or whatever, not reaching in there real clumsy with your giant finger and digging around, just clip that line off. As long as you're using a barbless hook like you're supposed to, that thing it'll wiggle out of there.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to do much less damage to these fish.
Well,
just hopefully no bait.
Well, and you and I were talking before we went on the air about you're gonna hook other things as well.
Yeah, and
so
that's kind of...
You want to talk about that a little bit, just how to handle that?
Well, it's just kind of like when we're in our trout season and you hook into like a bull trout per se there. It could be a bull trout or a steelhead or a cutthroat that you get besides these whitefish. So, there again, we're not gripping and grinning, taking trophy shots, just get that. Don't take the fish's working parts out of the water.
Yeah.
I see a lot of these people when they take pictures kind of getting sidetracked here, but putting its belly on top of the water doesn't count as keeping the fish in the water.
Yeah.
They need their gill parts in there. So, really, just don't even take some pictures. Just kind of get that hook out.
There you go.
Enjoy the fact that you had some fun bycatch and get back to what you're doing.
There you go.
And I would encourage some people to take some of those whitefish and give it a try. Maybe we could have like a whitefish contest, see whose recipe prevails in the end. Maybe I'm throwing out the challenge.
That's a good idea.
Throwing the whitefish gauntlet down.
Clean your smokers out, boys.
Yeah,
and girls.
That's just kind of a great thing to be able to do through the winter. I think that's going to be part of the trifecta for me, going over to the Upper Columbia, hitting Omak Lake, and hitting the Methow River. Thanks, the fish gods.
Yeah.
If anybody needs more info on this, I also have the seasonal map on my website at Fly Fishers Pro Shop. You can drop me a line at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com or just give me a call, 509-429-7298. I'd be happy to get you out on the river, book a trip, show you how to get some whitefish, maybe even how to get your prep on. So until such time as we see each other again, stay warm, take care of one another, happy holidays, and get that fish right on. Just about to run me out my mind. Said, man, could I go fishing with you? Took on down to my favorite fishing hole. What you think that brother of mine did do? Caught some pound perch on the bottom. Creamy got a nine. Took him on the mama. Say it's real gone. Come on, his pole and his line. He was going fishing and my mama's going